Hey everyone, Mike here. Welcome to the Around the Crease podcast. This is episode 46, and today is going to be a little bit different because while it's the wrapping up of 2018, and most places, and including on laxrecords.com, you're going to see like year in review kind of stuff, Michael Ward and I got a little bit excited about the upcoming 2019 season, so we're doing a little bit of a high school season preview. Basically, what we're doing is we're going to talk about some of the things that we're hoping to cover and do on Lax Records this season. Obviously, Michael, this will be the first season he has been a contributor to laxrecords.com, so he's very enthusiastic and looking to get out to a lot of games. So we're going to kind of outline the things that you could, should, and will expect to see from both of us for the upcoming season, and just kind of chit-chat about the things we're most excited about seeing for the upcoming 2019 season. So on to the show. Everyone, just wanted to break in here real quick because I want to do a sponsor break to tell you about Anchor. Anchor is how I actually produce this podcast, and I have found it as the easiest way to make a podcast. Anchor has given me everything that I need all in one place for free, by the way, which I can use from my computer, my cell phone, my tablet. In fact, I do most of the audio editing actually from my iPad. I usually will go to a coffee shop or someplace like that, put the headphones on, and I can do editing. I can split audio. You can add breaks. You can trim it. It makes it super easy to produce a podcast. They give you all the creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast so they sound great. And they even will distribute your podcast for you. So whenever I was on another service, you kind of had to figure all that stuff out yourself. You had to go into each service, add it, hopefully it got approved, and hopefully you didn't mess anything up. And if you did, you had to go back and do it. Anchor takes away all that headache. They'll distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard everywhere. You can hear it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, many, many more. And you can easily make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Now, if you're interested in this, I want you to download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. It's A-N-C-H-O-R. It's A-N-C-H-O-R.fm. Again, Anchor is the best way to make a podcast.
Welcome to the laxrecords.com podcast. It's Mike Loveday here with Michael Ward
again. I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. So I want to start off, in case anybody notices any differences in sound, I am actually traveling back to Maryland for the holiday, so I'm actually in my car right now. We're recording a little bit differently than we normally do, so if there's any audio issues or anything like that, please excuse any of that, but we're going to do our best to clean up any of that post-haste. But for today, we're going to jump on a little bit of the early bandwagon, because Mike and I want to talk about the 2019 high school lacrosse season. And we know it's not even Christmas yet, but we thought it was a good time to kind of talk about what our hopes are for the upcoming year and what we kind of expect, since, Mike, this is your first year. You're going to be contributing to Lax Records during the season. So I kind of really want to hear what your kind of personal hopes are for this upcoming season.
Okay, well, some people may know and some people may not know, my concentration that I'm looking at will be in the Midwest. Ohio, Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, basically Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, whoever needs to be looked at, I'm going to try to get out there. My main focus mostly will be Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan. And Ohio is now, I've gotten a lot of contacts in Ohio, so that's the thing. So I want to see, I expect to be at least one or two games a week all around the Midwest. I'll be going up to Detroit. I'll be going out to Cincinnati, the North Shore of Chicago, right here in Indiana, I'll be at Culver. So that's my goal. I want to see the teams that I'm going to be watching in person, so I could actually have an honest perspective of it instead of seeing just a stat sheet. Sometimes they lie. They lie. They don't tell you what the real story is. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to hitting all these Midwest powerhouses and seeing them in person.
And as far as like coverage wise, like what could, you know, what will people, should people expect to kind of see through media from the Twitter on laxrecords.com? Like what are you kind of hoping to deliver for people to kind of consume during the year?
For example, if I go to like a, let's say Loyola Nutria game, I will give my opinion of the game. I'll give my opinion of people who stood out. And of course I will put it on Twitter. I mean, that's an easy avenue. I would also like to be able to get the information to you, Mike, and you can put it onto the website in some format you think is reasonable. I'm also going to reach out to the coaches and some players and some player parents around the Midwest, and they can give me scores for their teams that we could also just say, hey, this was Indian Hill playing such and such team in Ohio. Their score was this, or, you know, Archbishop Moeller played so-and-so. These are these scores. To try to get as much publicity and information about all these teams. That's my goal. I want to make the Midwest known. And there are some strong teams that I don't think get any respect, really. And I want to start on the road to getting them the respect they deserve.
Yeah. And what I'm kind of hoping to kind of latch on, like what I guess I would like to see, because I love the score angle, and we're actually going to talk a little bit about scores in high school here in a few minutes, because obviously that's going to be a hot button topic, has been in the past and will be probably for the next few months. But one thing I'm always focused on too is kind of getting the players highlighted and their performances. So kind of one of the things I'm hoping that having you on and having those contacts and being at those games is being able to, especially in the Ohio's and Michigan, is getting the player performances a little bit more front and center, because Michigan and Ohio are two of the states that I have a little bit more of a challenge with, especially game by game. I mean, the perfect example was Bryce Clay last year at a Forest Hill Central. He finished his career with more than 600 career points, and I did not find out about it until about a month before the Under Armour games, whenever the all-state or all-area teams came out, just because there's not a lot of reporting going on in Michigan in that area. So it was one of those, like, I knew his freshman and sophomore year stats because I have a good contact at one of the coaches or one of the schools in Michigan, but I didn't have, even he did not know the junior year stats. So like I was missing his junior and senior year. So for me, I want to avoid that stuff. Like I want to know about those kids before they get to the end of their career, because for me it's, and obviously for Bryce, he's going on to the University of Michigan there now. It didn't hurt his career any, but you know, for the kids that may not be that notarized, like I just kind of want to make sure I give those kids a little bit of publicity. People know about them and that I know about them, because I think that's what makes me passionate about covering the game. So Ohio and Michigan are two states that if anybody from those states are listening, I'm more than happy to publicize any performances that come out of those states and out of those games, because it's been a pull of mine for years, and it's just newspaper coverage, just newspapers in general are struggling. So it's no surprise that there's a few states that struggle a little bit more than others, because newspapers in different areas of the country struggle
right.
more than others.
Well, the as far as like that, the Bryce Clay, I mean, the funny thing is he also played for Juice Cherries, which my son plays for Juice Cherries. So I knew who he was and all that. And I knew he was great. I mean, there's a lot of, that's a good connection for me. That's why a lot of my connections come through from Michigan is Juice Cherries and some of the coaches who are involved.
Yeah, and I guess I should probably clarify, like, talent-wise, I knew who he was, but it was, like, stat-wise. Like, because I remember asking the coach that usually gives me a lot of Michigan stats and players and all the – which really helped me build out the Michigan page. Whenever I got Bryce's stats, I immediately emailed him. I was like, does this sound right? I was like, that's an insane number. Because I forget what his total is, but it was like 640 points. I'm like, that's an insane number for a four-year guy. And obviously, Nikki Solomon had just done it in Georgia. And I was like, that's not a very often that two guys hit 600. I was like, but for Bryce, I was like, last I saw him, he had 200, 300 points, like below 300s. I'm like, that's double. So, and he was like, yeah, it seems that. But I got back and got in touch with coach, and it was all real. And I'm like, all right, okay, that's awesome. I was like, so talent wise, I knew about him, but I was like, I didn't know he was
right.
Doing
you're the stat person. Like you, I mean, that's your bread and butter is the stats and all that stuff. Where I want to go and see it as the player as a whole. Like, if you were saying to me, this kid scored 600 goals, go check him out and see if that's a real 600 goals. I mean, it's not like there's going to be some kid who's scoring 600 goals who isn't great. But there are some kids who might score 300 goals. Right. And then you look at them, you're like, well, it's the system or it's the teams they're playing or whatever. And you can tell when you watch them. And that's what I want to see. So there are a lot of coaches who I've talked to who have already, they're already sending me messages about, here's a player to watch that I have. Here's another player you should watch. They've even talked about players on opposite teams that they said, you might want to come to this game because we're playing so-and-so in this game. And this guy is committed to this school or this guy is getting looked at. That's the ones I want to look at. And then, you know, I'll say, hey, this player, I don't know what his stats are, but this is someone you might want to look into his stats because I saw him in real life. And if his stats don't match up to him, he can play the game. You know what I mean? Like, I want to look and see it in person. That's my angle from it.
Yeah. And I think it's one for me, having another person on the ground, so to speak, and being in touch, like, because that's the easiest way to get coaches and let us know who they are and send them in, is like, there's boots on the ground. They see someone there. It puts a face to the email and a face to everything, and it helps tremendously. So I'm looking forward to that. And for me, like, one of the things I'm really hoping to do on the site this year is really kind of augment the content that I do. So previous years, I've done some freelance. I've usually done stuff with 3D Rising, which I probably will do again this year, or maybe possibly this year, and then U.S. lacrosse stuff. But I think I'm giving up the U.S. lacrosse stuff this year because I really want to do a lot of what I did for them, but I want to do it for Lax Records. So what that really entails is I like their notebook idea because I did that previously back when I worked at ESPN. So I'm going to do, because I've covered the Mid-Atlantic for so many years, living in Maryland for years, I'm going to do the Mid-Atlantic. I have a guy that has expressed interest in doing the Southeast. And then I have you covering a little bit of the Midwest. So what I plan on doing is kind of doing double duty. So I will write a little bit of a Midwest recap myself using some of the information you give and then using some of the information that I get and doing a little bit of Midwest. And then outside of that, I know I want to do like an overall notebook for the nation that will cover, like, just collect all the other stuff. Like, I'm hoping people may have seen the tweets that I'm looking for writers for the upcoming year. Can't really pay very much, but, you know, it's one of those things, if you're a young writer looking to get your name out there, really be a really good way, because honestly, that's how I did it. I strung at the newspaper for $25 a story, which is not enough to survive, but I got a lot of bylines, and that really helps cut your teeth and figure out, like, all right, this is how you put a story together and stuff like that. But I'd really like to get someone on the West Coast, because that's another area that I feel is somewhat underserved, and it's such a broad area, like the Colorados, and obviously California is so big. So areas like that, I'd really like to find a writer or someone who'd be willing to do a report every couple weeks or just give some information out there. So that's kind of my goals for the upcoming season, is to really kind of provide more information and not try to, like, do it on a national scale, but also kind of break it down, because what I found, just the data on the site tells me, is people love their state and they love their area. So I want to make sure I try to give as much of that in addition to the usual daily stat leaders, which is what I started the site on and which I will continue doing each day. So each day you'll obviously be able to expect, like, hey, here's the top scoring performers of the day. But I also want to do the notebooks that will go beyond just the scores and kind of talk about, you know, teams that have done well, players that have done well, but maybe did not score the minimum threshold for inclusion on the stat leaders list. Maybe the kid scored, you know, 6 goals and 3 assists that had 9 points, but I usually do a 10-point limit on that. So, but maybe he did that 3 times in 1 week. So it's still a player that I would definitely like to keep my eye on. And obviously player of the week and stuff that I did last year, there's just some stuff that, to be honest, like, I enjoy doing so much that I couldn't envision giving it up to begin with. So I'm really excited about this upcoming season, because just being able to do more is exciting. And obviously we're going to be doing this podcast, so that's going to be another thing that people can look forward to. So I would really expect everybody to be pleasantly very pleased with the content that'll be coming out of Lax Records this upcoming season, which we're not that far away from, which is
Practices have started already. I mean, conditioning and I mean, they're playing, Texas, they're practicing. I mean, I know they are in Carmel. Yeah. I know they are pretty much all the Midwest. They're in the gyms, they're running around, they're doing it. So they have a break right now. Today was the last day of conditioning, I know, for Carmel until the 2nd of January, and then they're back at it. So it's great. It's fun. It's fun for me as a dad. It's fun for me as a fan. It's fun for me as a Midwest contributor for Lax Records to see what's going on. And this might be the downtime, but it's the time to get ready. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And that's for the players. That's for me too, because I'm trying to gear up. And since our Players to Watch series is kind of complete, I'm really trying to come up with a way to like kind of do a season preview for the different regions. So I'm actually going to be doing region previews, which will be recapping last year's leading scorers in the region. And then I'm kind of compiling the two major top 25s just to kind of look at like, here's where the teams that were ranked last year, kind of a compilation, talk about who may be coming back for next year. Each of the past 3 years, I've done coaches who could reach potential milestones. So I'm going to be doing this. So a lot of the stuff that I've been doing for the preseason last few years, I definitely want to do again. I'm going to be doing the region Players to Watch. So you'll see some of that, the Players to Watch kind of recycle through in a different format in the next few weeks. And I'm planning on starting that in January because Texas starts basically, I think, the first or second week in February. It's always a battle if them or Florida get started first. And I don't know the first official day of Texas at this point, but they start early. So the lacrosse season starts very early for me since I'm paying attention to national scale. So it's a exciting. So like I've already seen some of the Texas teams, like kind of like you said, Carmel's finishing up their last practice of the for this year, but I've seen Texas teams promoting their practice for the last month. So like I know teams are gearing up for the season. I'm sure the kids are chomping at the bit. They're sure they're looking forward to their holiday break from school for a few weeks. But I'm sure lacrosse season is a pretty close second for their excitement.
Yeah, I mean, speaking as, again, as a parent, I know what I'm hearing from other parents and other kids and other just here. And then not to mention the travel teams going up with the travel team. I mean, that's still going on, you know, as far as like is Juice Cherries, they're still having practices and that's kids from all over the place. So everyone's in it. And the good thing about that, and this is one of the things that I wanted to talk about, was I'm not as stat, like I said, I'm just a fan. But I also will have parents, players, coaches from high schools and they will contact me. They will tell me this stuff. So I'm getting it from like every angle, which I think it's a more organic thing. It's more of a social type of thing as opposed to saying 6 goals, 3 shots, whatever. They're going to say this kid lit it up. Things that don't get on a stat sheet, where I would say, oh, he moved the ball. He drew slides. He was a cat. You know, that's the stuff I would like to talk about. You know, which is different from yours. So I think it's complementary to each other, and I think, as far as a parent or a fan or a teammate or a classmate, they like to see some of that stuff too, you know, like the hear the story of the actual game.
Yeah.
Especially in the big rivalry games. That's what I want to hit. I want to try to hit all the big rivalry games in the Midwest area. You know, the Central Catholic, Detroit Central Catholic versus Brother Rice, the Loyola New Trier, Archbishop Moeller versus St. X, St. X versus Trinity and Louisville. Like those are the ones I want to go to. The big ones where you see the fans going crazy, and it's just so those are the ones that are exciting. I mean, it might shortchange some smaller programs, but I'll try to get to those as well. But you know, I gotta go to the big ones first, and hopefully by focusing on big ones now, it'll bring more eyes to the sport. Where that the newer teams or the not as strong teams could grow because there's more interest.
Yeah. And you will quickly realize the challenge I faced for many, many years, even before I covered lacrosse, when I was covering football, is there's going to be weekends where there is more games that you want to attend than you could physically do. because that is always the challenge. Like, there's going to be three or four games going on one Saturday, and you're going to be like, right, which one do I pick? Like, that's going to be the challenging part. And I've done that for many years, and I know, like, one of the tournaments I'm really excited about, I didn't get to go to it last year, but the Midwest Lacrosse Tournament, I believe, is going to be happening again. And I'm trying to nail it down, but I saw on one of the, like, I think Lake Forest's schedule, that they have it at New Trier, because they had marked off on their calendar. So I'm just trying to confirm that that's happening. I took it as a tentative, so I actually already put it on my calendar, because I live like 20 minutes from New Trier High School. So for me, that's a big no-brainer. So that's one of the big tournaments. And I don't know who's all going to be there, but I know in years past, like, I saw Carmel there.
We're Carmel. We go by Carmel in here. Carmel is the West Coast.
Oh. Okay. I'm still right. An East Coast guy. It's just the accent. So I saw Brother Rice play Loyola Academy. I saw MICDS at St. Louis. So it was, for me, it was a great tournament, because coming from the East Coast, these were teams that literally I'd only ever heard about on paper. Like, I never saw them because they never came east, or they never came east to an area where I could see them. Now, I had seen Loyola Academy's girls when I worked at ESPN, because they always come east to play at St. Stephen's St. Agnes, but I had never seen the boys team. So for me, it was very exciting. And plus, obviously, I'd never seen Brother Rice, and I've seen them a couple times now, but, like, obviously Culver Academy attends and is pretty much the team to beat in the last couple of years at that tournament. But, you know, for me, it's just really exciting. So I'm really kind of keeping my fingers crossed that is happening again this year and in the new year. So that's, for me, my
well, yeah, highlights. I have the tentative lineup of teams. Brother Rice, Carmel, Culver, Detroit Country Day, Lake Forest, New Trier, Olatangi Liberty. Is that how you say it? Olatangi. Yeah, I don't know if it's Olatangi or Olatangi, but Olatangi. And St. Xavier of Ohio. So those.
That's an exciting lineup. I'm anxious to see St. I would love to see St. Xavier. Right. I've not gotten to
And
see
now
them
I believe St. Xavier is. So I think out of all those schools, besides playing Culver in this tournament, I think that almost all of them will also be playing Culver as a regular game. You know, so I'm going to be seeing St. Xavier play Culver. I'm going to see St. Xavier of Louisville play Culver. Carmel plays them. So I think going to see Culver is like watching a college team, and then you see how good these teams are that can play them.
Are you going to Culver Academy to see these?
I believe Culver will go do a 2-day in Louisville, which I'll go down for. I think they're going to play Trinity and then St. X in Louisville. And then whatever game's up in Culver Academy, it's an hour and a half for me. It's straight up the road for me. I mean, it's the easiest drive. So, and I know kids who play on the team, so I'll be with some of their families and some of And so that's great. And then Carmel goes to play them up there this year as well. So I will see, and I've already seen Culver play this year. So I will see a lot of Culver, which is, some teams don't want to play them because they're so good and they draw from kids from all over the country and Canada. I think it's a great opportunity for these schools to play them. A, you could see where you measure up. B, you could make your highlight tape off them. I know a defenseman last year who was, you know, he's a great defenseman. His whole highlight tape was his two games against Culver, and now he's going Division I based on that. So those are the things that I like to see. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. That's what I'll do.
I think you'll have fun at Culver Academy. I went there 2 years ago when McCallie School out of Tennessee came up and played them, and it was a great atmosphere. I know Coach Kemp at McCallie School. I've known him for years since his son was in high school before he ended up at UNC. But so it was kind of fun to, one, catch up with him again and then see the atmosphere at Culver Academy. Like, it's a beautiful campus.
I've been there a few times. It's a great place. I think they have the Hill Academy at Culver this year. I think last year Culver went to the Hill, and I think the Hill comes this year, which the Hill is not, you know, in the Midwest. That's not, but I'm still, yeah, but I'm still going, but Ontario. I'm still going to that game. I mean, that's arguably the two best teams in the high school bracket in the country. I mean,
yeah, and that is probably one of those games. If I need to check, like, I've just recently started putting together my wish list for this upcoming season, which we'll talk about kind of towards the end. But if that's a game that's happening, like, you might see me there too, because that is be a fun game to happen. Like, that could be a national championship type game, because those teams usually routinely battle it out for supremacy for that number one ranking.
Yeah, and I'm inside the cross. You'll be there. I'll be there. 50 college coaches will be there. Every media public, yes. Because that's it. That you're seeing I don't want to shortchange any of the other Salisbury's and Landon's, the other powerhouses, but it's like a different sort of thing. It's an IMG somewhere is in there. But yeah, it should be great. And these are the things that I'm looking forward to.
I can't let that conversation go without mentioning the MIAA.
Right, they're right.
Because there is always an MIAA school out of Maryland. Like, I don't want to get I don't want to get emails or tweets and say we forgot, anybody from the MIAA. So I would definitely
put
represent
them in
Maryland.
Two different categories, like the MIAA are kids that are going to school like normal, as opposed to the Hill and Culver are like going to pre-college, you get recruited to play there or supposedly get recruited to play there and that, as opposed to the MIAA schools where you're from there most of the time. It's like the Long Island schools. I mean, yeah. Smithtown East and West Islip, you have to live there. And those teams are phenomenal. That's the difference.
Yeah.
And not to short, believe me, I've seen all the Maryland teams. They can handle themselves against anyone, and that's like a local team, which is crazy in itself. But my focus is on the Midwest, so I sort of do have my bias against the East Coast as fun.
I can't go too far without letting my East Coast pride show, since I spend most
especially
of my life
since
on
you're
going to
especially
Coast,
since so. You're going to be there next week, and this podcast will come out, and so you don't want someone taking a shot at you. I understand it.
Exactly.
I won't be in Long Island this year, so I'm not worried about it. But when you hear it in Long Island, if you even look at them wrong, they're in your face, which I actually get a huge kick out of. Right.
There you go. So I know we talked about, and I do want to touch on, because we talked a little bit about, getting scores and stuff like that. And I think that is going to be one of the most interesting things to see what shakes out for the 2019 season, because anybody listening to this podcast knows Lax Power is no more. So the source for not only high school, but like basically the source for scores in lacrosse does not exist for this season. And this will be the first year since 1999. I think they got started in 1999 and then built out from there. But since I have been a reporter covering lacrosse, there has been a Lax Power. So for me, this is kind of one of those seasons I feel a little lost, because it's going to impact what I do on Lax Records, because one of the things I've been able to do because a Lax Power existed is get consecutive win streaks. So like when Darien out of Connecticut, when they had their 76 game streak that finished this year, like I'm able to go back and see when the streak started, who they beat during that streak. Like it's a record of what has happened and verify information and stuff like that. But I was also able to get the teams that had a 15-game streak. So a source that I've relied on since I started Lax Records, and even before when I was keeping preliminary records at ESPN, is no more. So for me, I am hopeful, because I know Inside Lacrosse, they launched their scoreboard system last year, and I know they didn't push it too hard, because I don't think there was a lot of people that were incentivized, because Lax Power originally was not going to do it, and then they ended up doing it. So I don't think too many people were incentivized to use Inside Lacrosse last year, because Lax Power was still doing it. It existed. It was a known quantity. But, I'm interested to get your perspective on this, because I know you don't do the stats and you probably didn't check out the same information that I did, but you're a fan, and I'm sure you had to have been a fan of Lax Power. So I'm getting kind
well, of it's funny it. That you say it because I still have the app on my phone. You know, I haven't pressed it. You know, but it's like I can't take myself to take it off. I looked at it every single day, just to as a fan to see who's playing who and who won. And again, I did it by thinking, okay, this team should beat this team based on my knowledge, and then I would check it to make sure that I was right. You know, like, oh, I was right. This, you know, this team was so. It's a huge, huge hole. And I hope it gets filled by as much as possible, you know, by inside lacrosse. Great. Anyone else steps up? Great. Cause I think it's the one thing that I've never heard anyone in the lacrosse community, that I've dealt with in the past, who's had anything, but, was upset that Lax Power is gone. No one's like, oh good. They're not good. Everyone has felt this is a loss. So, I don't know what exactly happened or why it happened. You know, my speculation is always something to do with money, but it's an opening for people to step in. And I, you know, I hope it. I look to you actually. I hope you can try to fill in some things for me. Like I'll give you as much information as I can get, but this is. I mean, you're a stat. You're like a human stat. Statistician, it's quite amazing all the records and things you have. So, I think a lot of you can fill in. Hopefully,
yeah, I'm really hoping. Like, because one, obviously, another big thing I do is this coaching records, and that was really an easy way for me to find out. Like, oh, you know, how many wins did Coach Posner at Culver Academy? What did they win this year? Like, it's a lot of times it's hard to get a hold of those coaches to find out what their final record is, but I never really had to worry about it, to be honest, because I knew it was on, you know, maybe Culver Academy is a bad example because they were always ranked and you could find it in the top 25. But, you know, McCallie School out of Tennessee, Coach Kemp, you know, Coach Elliott Dent down at MUS and Memphis University School, like a lot of those coaches, like they might not be top 25 schools, but I could always find their record, on Lax Power. So I was able to add to that coach's win-loss record, which, you know, I have, you know, in addition to what you see on Lax records, I probably have another few hundred coaches that don't have 100 wins that I just add to each year, knowing that, you know, if they keep coaching long enough and keep doing what they've been doing, like they're eventually going to hit that threshold. So they will eventually appear on the list. So for me, it's like not only the guys that I currently have on the list, it's some of the people that, you know, may just be getting started. You know, the coach, Coach Gorman at Don Bosco Prep in New Jersey, he came from Cary Grove in Illinois, and he got hired at Don Bosco Prep. So I have his couple years at Cary Grove, and now I am able to have been able to track his years at Don Bosco. So it's one of those, like, you get coaches like that, they move from place to place, and was able to find those records. So last year I talked to a bunch of coaches. You know, I usually send out a preseason email, and last year a lot of it was like, I need to figure out what I'm going to do when I can't get the win-loss record. But then it ended up being a non-starter because I found them. This year, it's real. So it's one of those, like, I have to figure out how I'm going to get that. And it's probably going to be not unlike the rest of the site where it's going to be a community pool where I'm like, I'm going to need people to chip in and be like, hey, these are what I'm looking for and this is what I get. And we're going to see how this season goes. But like you, like, I'm hoping, like, and I know Tennessee, they just sanctioned the sport, and I know they're requiring their coaches to enter into Max Preps. I talked to Lee Roggenberg, who runs Florida Lacrosse News. Florida coaches are required to use Max Preps, so it could be a hodgepodge this season of where are we getting them. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Like, we were talking a little bit before we started recording. Like, this season with scores could be a little bit of a wild, wild west. Before it gets settled, like, we're going to kind of have to see, is Inside Lacrosse going to end up being the site where everybody goes? Like, we need enough buy-in to have a source. And it'll be interesting because I know, like you said, like, I haven't talked to anybody who doesn't feel like Lax Power is not a huge loss to the community. And whether or not you love the scores, whether or not you love the rankings, whether or not you love the message boards, like, I've heard people talk about the different aspects of the site that they love, but it does. Well, no matter what your reason you loved it, most people loved it for something. Like, you may not have loved everything, but chances are you loved it for something. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And I won't lie, I'm a little terrified because a lot of what I do relies on being able to find that information. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Well, I mean, if anyone can do it, it's you. I think, you know, if you're looking at 10 different sources to get all the information, you're the guy that will look at 10 different sources and get it all in one spot. Not to put pressure on you, and not to say, but I expect you to be able to do it. If anyone, you have the background in doing it. It's a matter of if the information is correct.
And to be honest, like,
you know, not from you, the information you get.
You could not put any. Yes. And you couldn't put any more pressure on me than I would put on myself, because to be honest, like, I have such a massive database of those coaches and team records and stuff like that, that I'm like, well, I just have to do it now. It's not really an option. Like, I'm a little bit of a completionist in that way. So not having a record, like, I may not have it as quickly as I did in previous years, but I will have it eventually. So I think there's probably going to be one of those things, like, and people have, you know, some people who I think don't understand what I do on the site say things at certain times as far as like playing bias or I'm ignoring schools or something like that, which is just could not be further from the truth. But it's going to be one of those, like, you're going to have to understand, like, this year it might take a little bit longer to get some of these records than it has in years past, because, like, and I don't know. Inside lacrosse, I checked their scores, scoreboard this week. There's some states that have it, some that don't. Some states have some, you know, it's just one, like, and but I know it's not even Christmas. So I'm hopeful. Like, I know they want it to work. I've talked to one of the guys there. Like, I know they want it to work. I know they're going to push a pig. And if there's someone that can do it, Inside Lacrosse has the clout, and they already have the name. So it's not like you're giving your information to this some startup you've never heard of before. Like, Inside Lacrosse has a little bit of weight in our community. So I would expect people to put their scores in there. It's just a matter of how many.
Yeah, I find it funny that people think you're biased when you deal strictly in numbers. You know, I might be biased. I'm going to use my opinion on things, but you know, like, I probably will do a weekly Midwest ranking or certain states. You know, I'm not going to rank the top 10 schools in Illinois, the top 10 in Michigan, but I might say, here's the top 10 in the Midwest. And that might cause a little controversy, and I might weight somebody higher than another. And so I'm like the editorialist. I'm the one who, you know, it's not factual. It's based on me, where I think everything you do is true fact, news, stats, numbers.
And there's a place for what you do, and that's why I'm thrilled to have you on, because that's the stuff and that I think I was like, it's a good compliment to what I do. Like, it gives another angle. And to be honest, like, I did rankings for years. I did the Fab 50 at ESPN for years, and a little controversy and a little bit of, you know, like, oh, what about this team? What about this team?
Yeah.
It gets the conversation going. It's fun. Like, we talked about it in last week's, you know, that the debates about sports, like, it's fun. It creates the dialogue and it gets people talking. Like, is this team really better than this team? It, you know, it's good fun. It's not facts, it's opinion, but, you know, it's an educated opinion as with the information you have, and it's malleable. You can change it. That's the beautiful thing about rankings. If you mess up one week, you have a chance to correct it the following week. Because usually the results
right.
are
right, and I get to use your true numbers and say, and that's as a metric for me to use. And I can say, if I have to, because I already know there will be arguments. I mean, I could put out a list right now, and I could get an argument from pretty much every school that wouldn't be number one, and they have a point. But during the season, I could say, well, based on the numbers that Mike Loveday has brought me, and based on my eye test, this is why I'm doing it. And I could say, and the one thing that's constant is the numbers that I'm getting from Mike Loveday and LaxRecords.com. Now, the other part might be, this was a rainy night that I saw this game. They weren't as good, you know, whatever I'm going to use at that point. But I know that one metric that I will have that I can stand by is your information.
And my information is going to be, that's the one thing I always like to key on is like, my information is only as good as the where I'm able to get it from. If I can't get anything, it's always going to is like, and I don't get called biased too often. And generally it's like, I find it's people who just kind of stumble upon the site and they look at it. It's a cursory glance and they don't really spend time to figure out like, all right, this is what's going on. Cause for me, this has always been a project of like where this project has no end. Like, I mean, unless they stop playing lacrosse one day, this project has no end. But it's always one of those like every now and then, if some kid gets a record and they're like, oh, you know, we had a record. And then every now, and to be honest, like usually what ends up happening if I put out that so-and-so has the record for most assists in a game in Illinois, we'll just use the Illinois example, that usually will trigger someone to be like, oh no, I know a kid at school that had, you know, one more assist in like 1993. Here's the coach's email. Here's the like, and a lot of times, like, and because the biggest example of that was when I think the overtime, the previous record that I had for most overtimes in a game, and I'm not in front of my computer, and I'm not, so this could be a little bit incorrect, but I think it was 9, and I put it out there, and I was like, and for me personally, I'm like, I can't imagine anyone going longer than 9 overtimes. That's an insane amount to begin with. But then I had someone from St. Ann's Belfield, so I know the coach is there. But it wasn't the current coach. It was somebody else. They were like, oh, no, we played a 14-overtime game against Western Albemarle in, like, 1983. And he was like, give me 5 minutes. He sent me an email. He scanned a picture. He took a picture of the newspaper clip that he had in his file cabinet. But he was like, I haven't even opened that for probably 10 years. So, but he knew it was there. And I was like, well, he gave me the entire newspaper article. It had all the details of the game and everything. You could tell it was like one of those, like, and I used to do when I followed Baltimore, it was in Cal Ripken. I used to cut out the article in the newspaper, and I still have some of them myself. So it was just kind of funny. I'm like, yeah, this record would have been lost to time if that guy didn't keep that record, because a lot of that stuff doesn't get digitized. So a lot of times, like, stuff like that happens where I'll say something. And I always catch it like, this is the best known and reported to me. So I always want to make sure people understand that. But like, you know, if I don't have it, not because I didn't choose to have it, because I don't know about it. So all I need to do is know.
That's right. Well, I know you do your research like nobody. So if you're saying it, you haven't found anything. It doesn't mean that you didn't, that you might not be wrong, but you haven't been able to find. If you can't find it, I'm usually sitting there thinking no one's finding it.
And a lot of times, like being lacrosse, like it's still a lot of people have to keep in mind, it's still a relatively new sport in a lot of areas of the country. So a lot of times, like those stats in the early days, like to be honest, like I've been told by coaches, they're like, we didn't really know what we were doing. So, you know, they may only kept goals and assists, and they're like, they might not have had enough volunteers to do the box scores of games. So they're like, we had a guy that scored a lot of goals, but we weren't able to track every one of them, so we're not really sure how many they scored. So it becomes one of those things, like, and I always kind of related to, like, I remember Deacon Jones years ago talking about the sack record in NFL, and he was like, he always talked about, he's like, he would be the NFL's all-time sack
leader. Right, they didn't have that stat.
And it's one of those, yeah, they didn't have that stat. So it's one of those things I'm like, well, you know, it's unfortunate, but there's some areas of the country like the information kept is better than others. And it's just, as the sport matures, that will clean itself up, but doesn't help the players they may have played 10 years ago in particular states because maybe their records weren't kept.
I don't believe half the stats you might see now from 10 years ago of schools in the Midwest. I mean, who was keeping... I look at teams now. You see a kid keeping the you see a kid sitting at a desk and keeping the stats, and you're like, does he know what? What's going on? Especially in a state like Indiana, not a real particular lacrosse hotbed, and you have maybe a student who's just doing it to get service in the school. They might not know anything, and all of a sudden there's some stats, We got a goal. We got an assist. Some people don't even score an assist. It might shortchange anything. And there's your stat angle. My angle is the stats don't show the game. And I'll, you know, and coming back, I'll be watching the game saying, this kid lit it up. The stats might not show it, but he was the difference in the game. And that's why I think it's a complimentary for both of us. So, I wish there were more people like that would do what I'm doing throughout the country to really just pound you with as much information as possible. And then you can extrapolate from what, but then here's your area, here's your area. Because that generates more interest. That's, you know.
Yeah, and it gets the helps get the information out there. So anybody wants to contribute, like I'm willing to shoot me an email and we can talk and we can see what we can do. But I know we're kind of starting to kind of get up close to an hour, I believe. But so before we finish up, I kind of do, and we talked a little bit about it earlier, but I want to talk a little bit about, you know, maybe what we're either most excited about or looking forward to for the upcoming season. And maybe it's a game you really want to see, maybe it's a player, but what are one or two things that you're kind of really kind of got you excited about the upcoming season?
Well, the MLC is probably the biggest thing for the Midwest. That's the one I want to see. Now, I will preface that by saying I'm upset that I don't think MICDS is in it this year from what I've just seen. And I don't think Loyola Academy's in it. And if I had to rank the top five teams starting this year, both of those teams would be top three. And so they're not in it. That's my only takeaway from that. But that's the one. That's going to be, you know, six, seven teams. There might be some issues going on. So let's, you know, what I told you about those teams might not still pan out. But that's going to be the one because it's all going to be in one place. It's going to be, you know, a who's who of the Midwest. I believe it will be televised on Lax Sportsnet. Things are still up in the air with it, but that's the one that'll do it. And then of course, personally, Loyola New Trier. I went to Loyola Academy. So I always like to see Loyola Academy. That was my first real experience into lacrosse is those two teams, that rivalry. And now it's coming to the point where I pretty much know every player on both of those teams as well as their parents. So to go to that game and I'd be talking between them, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. That'll be an excitement. That's when I haven't made that game yet. I keep kind of waiting for that to be a state championship game just to give me that extra little nudge.
So. Well, pretty much it's their state championship game almost every year. But the regular season game is a great one because what they do is you're in Chicago, so you would know this probably. There's a place called Misericordia, which is for mentally challenged children, people. That Misericordia takes place, and it's all, you know, it's a nonprofit. Well, those New Trier and Loyola have a game for Misericordia. So these are arch rivals. These are people that their rivals rival, but they come together to raise money for Misericordia. They do it in hockey, they do it in football, and they do it in lacrosse. So that's the one I want to go to because it's such a heartwarming thing to see the camaraderie before the game. And then the bloodlust during the game, and then after the game they come back for the greater good. And I think that's the best thing about sports, and I love that. So that's the regular season game that has me most excited.
Yeah, and for me, like I can kind of do a ditto on the Midwest Lacrosse tournament challenge. I think it's the Midwest Lacrosse
challenge. MLC
misrepresented earlier. So, like, I'm definitely looking forward to kind of seeing that final lineup. Like, kind of like you, to not see MICDS because that's actually one of the schools. Like, I am trying – like, their schedule was not set, so I haven't seen where they're going yet this year. But St. Louis is about a five-hour drive for me, and me and my wife have kind of been looking for an excuse to go to St. Louis. So I figure if I could tie something in, it's a good enough excuse to get that extra little nudge to do that drive. But that's a definitely school because when – I saw maybe a half of their game whenever they played Carmel at Crown Point in the Midwest Lacrosse Challenge 2 years ago because, ironically, like I got kind of pulled into doing the play-by-play for the Loyola Academy Brother Rice game for Lax Sports Network. please no one go look that game up because I am not a play-by-play guy. I think I spent more time watching the game and forgetting I was supposed to comment on it because I was there. It was kind of one of those last second things I was trying to do the guys a favor. And my goal was to go and watch the teams. And I think I kind of forgot I actually had a job when I got there. So it was a, I've never said I wanted to be a play-by-play guy. So I'm not going to be too worried about too being harsh, judged too harshly on that. So that's a team I'm really looking forward to kind of seeing. And I'm kind of trying to make an extra point. But then there's another, there's a kid, Cade Newton out of South Elgin. I don't know how big the school is, but it's South Elgin is about an hour west of where I live. And he put up a phenomenal freshman year and had a pretty decent sophomore year. And I think he's getting pretty close to getting the 400 career points. And for me, like, I haven't been this close to a guy that's scoring that many points that I've been able to just get to a game on a Saturday. So I already have, I think, two of South Elgin's games kind of marked on my calendar just to see which one I can get to. And it's going to depend on, you know, what other teams are playing, what weekends and what commitments I have. But I'm definitely kind of trying to get to see him this year to see what he's like, because I've never seen him play. Like, I know his stats, but I really don't know too much else about him. So for me, like, there's a couple, it's a little bit of a mix. And MICDS, they have Graham Bundy, who's a Division I player. But he's, I think he got right around just a little bit shy of 300 points. And he's another guy that could hit 400 points this year. So for me, if I could see two kids during this year hit 400 career points, would be
especially in the Midwest.
Yeah. And so, like, and within enough hours of me that I can get to, because, like, obviously I've talked to a lot of guys, but it's one of those, like, the last few have been, like, the big number points have happened East Coast. Like, a couple guys, did Solomon's out of Georgia, Mike McCormick out of Massachusetts. You know, Bryce was out of Michigan, but I already stated earlier, like, I had no idea he was scoring that many points, so I would have never put him on my radar to go see a game for that purpose. So for me to know those kids that are approaching these milestones and be able to get out to see them, I'm kind of excited about that. So I was excited about the start of the season before we started talking. Now I'm about triple excited for the season to start now. So,
I'm with you on that. As we just talked about this, all of a sudden I just thought of, like, all these other, I've talked to a bunch of coaches and I've said, I'm going to go there and watch that. I'm going to go there and watch that. I know that there's a couple players. I think one at Indian Hill in Ohio, one at Moeller in Ohio. I think they got two kids who are close to breaking certain scoring records. I will get their names and actual numbers and get them to you off the show. But I've talked to them, so I'm interested in seeing them play. And I'm really interested in seeing St. Xavier of Louisville. I saw they had sort of a travel team, Stickheads, this summer. They have two kids. I believe one is going to Utah and the other one is going to Towson. They one stands probably 6'5", the other 6'3". They're absolute studs. I want to see how they go up in the high school season. So that's another one I'm really looking forward to. Not to mention Loyola Academy again, which started this whole thing for me. We'll go out east. They play three in Maryland and three in New York. So I will go out to Maryland or New York to watch those three games. I don't know which one I'll go, depending on the time of the year, but I will be at least three of those games.
And that's going to be, I think, more like, I don't think they're going to surprise anybody this year like they did. Like, obviously, beating Victor last year, I think, probably stunned probably just about everybody on the East Coast. Like, I don't think that I would have put money down that there's probably not too many people that would have put money on Loyola Academy beating Victor on that trip that last year. I'm not sure how many from people, like, it was, and it's, for me, I like to see the upsets. Like, I like to see that thing, and I like to see teams that people don't expect to win, because as someone who just wants to see the game grow, I'm like, it's kind of nice whenever, you know, a team from the Midwest or the West comes in, because, like, I related, I think when St. Ignatius Prep out of California came east and they beat Chaminade
at Long Island, yes,
New York.
That's where my nephews go.
And it's a little bit nice whenever these teams from the non-traditional areas come out and, you know, they punch an East Coast team in the mouth, because for me, I'm like, well, it shows that the sport is growing and it's not, you know, like all located in one area, because if the game is going to grow, it can't be located in the Baltimore, Long Island areas. Like, it's got to expand beyond. So it's really nice to see teams like Loyola Academy go out and win. And sometimes they don't win consistently. Like, they maybe Loyola Academy beat Victor last year. Maybe they don't this year. But I also think once those kids kind of prove to themselves and they prove to other teams in their area, like, you can go out and you can beat a Victor. It's not, you know, because I've had many, many coaches tell me over the years, like, sometimes the kids step on the field and they're intimidated yes. by the helmet. It does not matter who's in the helmet they see. Like, I remember I had a conversation with Coach Bordley at Landon years ago, and he was like, we have an advantage when teams come up to play us because they see the helmet and they're already intimidated. And it doesn't matter what talent level Landon – obviously, Landon always had a good talent level. But when the kids step on the field and they're already intimidated by you, like, all right, it's like, all right, you already have a leg up. So it's nice to see those teams like the Loyola Academy go back and beat a Victor, because, you know, if nothing else, the kids be like, oh, we can win these games. It's not just a, you know – moral victory kind of trip. Like, it can be a victory
right.
trip.
That, and a team like Loyola Academy, I think they have at least 71 kids on their team this year. That competes. Yeah, that's up there with anyone. So they're not afraid. Now, the funny thing is they'll go out east and they'll probably do okay, and they'll come back and it's just as easy. And again, I'm not shortchanging Nutria can beat them at any time. Nutria's no slouch too. I think they've got maybe 5 D1 kids. And that's a public school. I mean, that's a public school. That's that they can draw that much. I mean, Loyola's private. It's not like a boarding school, but it's, you know, you can draw from more high from grade schools and areas, where Nutria's the suburb of, you know, Wilmette, Winnetka, Kenilworth.
Yeah.
So those are the great things. And then, so that's the best part. Now, again, San Ignatius in California, I don't think anyone doesn't know who they are anymore. They're a nationally known team. They're a nationally ranked team. I would love to see San Ignatius come to the Midwest and take on some of these Midwest powerhouses, Brother Rice, Loyola, Moeller, San Xavier, the other San Ignatius in Ohio. I would love to see that. Unfortunately, I don't think you'll see a team like San Ignatius of California come to the Midwest, because they might think that if they lose to a team in the Midwest, they might think, oh, we just lowered our status. You know what I mean?
You know, well, I would push back a little bit, because I know Coach Packard at San Ignatius, and I think it's what, like, they have he's built that program into a certain level, and I think their East Coast trip, like, they raise money every year to go to that trip and everything, like, to do that. And so they have that window. And, like, you know, it's no different than the Loyola Academy. Like, they have their window of when, like, all right, it's a spring break.
Right.
We can go. Like, I know Boys Latin out of the MIAA, like, they go to Florida basically during the spring break every year, because that's, like, all right, the kids don't have to worry about school. So, like, I don't think it's so much a, like for one, I know Packard, like, he's not afraid to go anywhere and lose. Like, I don't think that plays into his mentality. I think it's probably more like, are we going to play Loyola Academy or can we go play Landon? And it's honestly, it's one of those things, like, for a St. Ignatius prep, like, and I'm sure, same thing for Loyola Academy, like, to go east and to beat a Landon when you're in, I guess I can say it because I was born and raised on the East Coast. Like, there is an East Coast bias. Lacrosse is still primarily an East Coast sport. So going east and beating one of those programs has weight that beating a Loyola Academy in Illinois just
absolutely
hasn't gotten to sense. Like, no, I don't want to sound like I'm biased, but I mean, that's the way it is. Like, that's how
what
people
I'm saying.
Perceive
that's
it.
What I'm like. It is. If you go out and beat, you know, a Long Island team, Chaminade, I like to bring up West Islip because that's where my wife's from. You know, and they're Smithtown, or you go and beat Landon or Boys Latin, Bullis, you know, that's the, that you talk about that. You'll talk about that forever. You won't. And no
perfect
offense.
Example is St. Andrews out of Florida. Yeah, I was going to say St. Andrews out of Florida when they beat Boys Latin years ago. I mean, that was just one of those things. Like, that puts a program like that on the map. Like, it legitimizes them for whether it's accurate or not, because St. Andrews was a very good program before. They were a very good program after, even if they didn't beat Boys Latin again. But it just gives them a little bit more weight, a little bit more mystique. So, like, I think that probably, you know, Coach Snyder at Loyola Academy, like, beating Victor helped him tremendously in a way that, you know, as great as New Trier is, like, that, like, people on the East Coast and you know, inside across is located there, just they notice it. It stands out. It's like, oh, wait. They beat Victor. And we know Victor, and we've known what they've done out of New York, and you have that, you know, strength of schedule, and you get to see all that stuff, and it's just one of those things, like, it gets attention a little bit more. So I don't, like, going east is one of those things, like, and for me, like, it'd be nice if, you know, these boys, you know, I'll just use Boys Latin since they're on my brain, because someone emailed me about their history recently, you know. It'd be nice if Boys Latin came out and played, you know, an MICDS or a play program like that, because then you could kind of see the, you know, let's see what they can do.
That's what I'd love to see that. Like, it's not in their best interest right now, and that's the unfortunate thing. So you always, but that's also the thing that starts conversations. I mean, I can't have someone from the Midwest going, "This team would beat Boys Latin," even though I want to think it might be true. I'd be like, "You can't, in good conscience, say that." You just can't. I mean, there are parents that I've talked to in the Midwest who've never seen an East Coast high school team play, and they'll be telling me how great their team is, and I have to look at them and be like, they'd put 20 on you and you wouldn't score. You know, no offense, your kids are great. They haven't seen this kind of thing. Hopefully that day is coming to an end. There are some teams, there are a handful of Midwest teams that could go and play with in any division out east. They might not win, but they're not going to embarrass themselves. I don't want to shortchange New Trier at all. New Trier played Culver last year and lost by 5 goals. Now, that's a public high school that lost to Culver by 5 goals. That was like a win. That set shockwaves. Now, Culver got a little upset with them, and the next game, I think they beat him by 18. Because he wasn't going to, you know, because it got chirpy, it got chippy. I think it was tied at one point, and that was like the second year in a row that New Trier came close to him. The first time was the game you were announcing when New Trier came close to Culver, and I guess Posner got so upset afterwards, he told his team, you know, you can't go easy on the next team, and they happened to just boat race Brother Rice the next day at Crown Point. So, but though that's why I also like the teams from the Midwest playing Culver, and that's why I appreciate Culver taking that prep team and playing the Midwest teams, because they know that's giving them some getting them over, again, to use a wrestling term, to, you know, they're getting, you know, if you can give Culver a run for their money, all of a sudden you're like, wow, this team's pretty good. That they only lost by 5 goals.
Yeah.
So, that, you know, we're talking too much. You're driving, and I'm excited, like, about it. I can't wait.
That's all right. Well, this is our very, I guess, I don't even know what you would call it, very early season preview. So I'm sure we'll be able to get more into what's going on, especially once we have a few more details. Like, once the schedules are a little bit more locked in, we can find them. Some of the questions that we asked about scheduling and scores, like, that stuff may be solved come February. So this won't be the last time we talk about the upcoming season. We were a little excited and figured we jumped the gun. It's Christmas, so why not, you know, give ourselves a little bit of a treat and talk about it a little bit early. So kind of wrapping up here, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on,
okay,
on Twitter.
Again, my Twitter handle is at MFWCHI. As I've said before, send me a message, DM. I will respond. We will have a dialogue if you want. And my email is mward@laxrecords.com. the same thing. I get people text or emailing. I've given my phone number. Actually, people have got my phone number, so we've texted and talked on the phone. I'm not afraid of having a conversation. I'm not afraid to be told I'm wrong. I love the argument. Obviously, you could tell. So that's where you can reach me, and have a great Christmas. Will this come out before Christmas? Yeah.
Yeah, and you can find me at Lax Records on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/LaxRecords, and obviously LaxRecords.com. And yes, this will, you guys, if you're listening to this, it's probably either the Sunday, I guess December 23rd, or someday after that. So either I hope you have a Merry Christmas or had a Merry Christmas. And then we are planning on doing this again every Sunday. So you can subscribe to us in any of your preferred podcast platforms. You can find it on the website. Any of the show notes and all that stuff will be included with it as well. So
have a great Christmas.
Have a great one.
And great holidays.
I hope you really enjoyed the show. There was a few things that I forgot to mention. One of the big things over the last few weeks is a couple people had asked me to create basically t-shirts on the Players to Watch series. So if you go to thelaxrecords.com and you click on the gear tab, you'll be taken to a store. And I have, it's mostly t-shirts, but there's also a really great couch pillow. I actually have one that I bought for my own couch. You may have seen it in one of the videos I did over on Instagram. So you can get shirts, you can get a pillow, a couple other items for the Players to Watch series. Is a great way to help support the work I do at laxrecords.com. In addition to that, if you'll see, like, I've been pushing out some Amazon affiliate links. It's just another great way to help support the work I do over at Lax Records. So we're not quite so reliant on advertising and things of that nature. So if you go over to laxrecords.com, you'll see links for all this stuff. I'll put stuff in the show notes over on laxrecords.com. So hope everybody's having a happy holiday and have a good one.